I am frozen no ghost. That's gonna be the opening, right?
I guess so.
It sure is. Have you been recording?
I am.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I'm Scott.
I'm Joe.
And this is Before and After Reviews, where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after. It's been a bit.
Oh, can I give you my quick before thoughts? I'm really excited about the bucket, the popcorn bucket. Regal, you did good. You did good, Regal. You did good.
If you can even get one, because I think people have been buying them early.
Oh, what the hell? Fuckers.
Well, anyways, what I was about to say was it's been a bit because life has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a couple hiccups, a little ups and downs, a little topsy-turvies.
Yeah, a couple of organs came out. Yeah, a little bit of life happened.
A little bit of life happened. Yeah, and here we are back. I think the last one we did was Dune 2. We skipped, I think, maybe a couple weeks. Yeah, Dune 2, and now we're doing, I don't know, Ghostbusters Weekend at Bernie's, Ghostbusters Next Level of Ice Age.
No.
Frozen Empire?
Frozen Empire, yes.
What did it got there?
The last one's called Afterlife.
I was going to say, I think it's called Afterlife.
Yes.
Here we are. This is the fourth Ghostbusters film in a series, not counting the attempt at doing a reboot that didn't go so well for a lot of people.
With the ladies, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people who were not happy about that film. Now, one of the reasons we didn't do Ghostbusters Afterlife on this show, because we didn't have the show yet, right?
No, we didn't have it yet. It was still a little dust in the wind.
Yeah, I mean, it was always a thing. And one of the reasons I was like, no, this shit's going to happen is because of that movie. There's so many movies that I was like, why didn't we talk about this? Because I have so many thoughts. And that movie was exactly right. I mean, to this whole theory. Since I've never been able to say it on the show, I had a dream script in my head about rebooting, or at least continuing, in the way that reboots should happen, where you pretend like the past happened, and you kind of step up and bring the new cast in.
Mm-hmm.
Like Force Awakens did.
Right.
And I'm like, that's the way you do it. Certain people have gotten that, and certain people haven't. And I think the reboot they tried to do was completely scrapped, you know, what was, and try to do something completely new and act like, you know, it's its own thing. And I think that was the misstep. I had a dream that we would be following the kids of the Ghostbusters in the future.
I think that would have been amazing. So like Oscar, who is Dana's son.
We know Winston has kids we've never met.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, now, I always believed that Egon would never have kids. He's not that kind of person who cared about any of that. In fact, in Ghostbusters 2, he's removing the animal away from the children just to see, because he's not a person who would be a parent. No. So I always thought it'd be really funny if he cloned himself. So I always had this dream that my two actors would be Aubrey Plaza and, oh my gosh, I just blanked on Max Fisher.
Oh, Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman and Aubrey Plaza playing cloned Egons.
That would be
like
great.
There was twins.
That would be great.
I think they would have been so funny at it. And them, and I always had a dream that Paul Rudd would be Oscar. Although first off, let's I'm just going to say this. Paul Rudd is ageless, so it doesn't matter what age he is.
He could literally be 52 or he could be 22.
Yeah, because I feel like he's got the charm of both actors.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's that kind of actor. So I always had a dream for it. And then, of course, you know, you would get your other guys. You know, at the time, I wouldn't know who would play Winston's son. I mean, of course, when I came up with this idea after years ago, I was like, oh, it's going to be Kevin Hart. You know, and I'm like, this gang would be amazing.
Kevin Hart.
You know, and I was like, it would be just so much fun. And I'm like that. And there's other people like that I know are dorks in real life.
Donald Glover.
Well, he would have been great.
Yeah.
But I know there's other actors out there that would be perfect in this universe as Ghostbusters, like Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I was like, these guys deserve to be the Ghostbusters. They're nerds in real life. It would be so great. And you can have the old character show up, but not be the focal point. Right. You know, you can write some of them out, because I know Bill Murray is like kind of like a hassle to get into these movies. And there's a reason we haven't had movies for so long. And it would have been perfect, but we didn't get that. What we got was Egon actually had kids. And I some people absolutely loved Afterlife. But for me, it's that problem of reboots where there's two ways you can go. You can either hand it off to a new crowd and wisely step up, which I think they could have done with my dream script. Instead, they did the nostalgia trip. And I do not like it. I think nostalgia trip, the member berries, as South Park has put it, is kind of a letdown, because it goes down a road where you feel everything's lazy. I just feel like you're only playing to the audience in the way that you can touch their feels.
I get that. And we have a good friend that is a Ghostbusters. I mean, he's obsessed with Ghostbusters. And he came out crying like a baby in the end.
Of course.
And because the nostalgia hit him.
Oh, and that movie went out of its way to hit, stupid jokes, too. Stupid jokes that would not make sense for the characters. Like, he's got the Twinkie wrapper in his pocket still. Why?
Yeah.
Like, why? There's stuff like that. I mean, this is a character who's supposedly years and years. And they even started the movie by saying that they separated and no one believed him. Not even Ray, who believes everything.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. It didn't click as a full movie to me. Like, I there was something about it where I just felt this is fake and forced.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And also, I feel like that whole thing carries on a little bit and also gets a little silly when you think about the trailer. Because you have the little wormy guy. What's his name? Is it Walter or something or other?
Talking about the sequel now? I was still trying to set up. Yeah, but yeah. The first one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, this one kind of, it goes right into the same kind of formula if you go by the trailer. So
that's what I was getting toward. Like, the fact that the first movie in this reboot, in this whatever you would call it, I think there's a name for when you do a reboot,
like a sequel. It's not a reimagining, because they're putting characters back in.
Yeah, the other one would have been a reimagining.
This the is girls, a, yeah. Yeah,
this is, I think they had a joke in the last Scream about it. Like, when you do a reboot sequel, it's called something else, but I can't remember. Who cares? At the end of the day, part three kind of did every checklist they could think of in ways that didn't even make sense. Like having What's-Her-Face being in love and saying that her and Egon had a love relationship when that's not what happened in those movies.
Yeah.
Egon couldn't care less about...
You're talking about Janine.
Yeah. He couldn't care less about Janine. Janine was hooking up with... Rick Moranis. And I'm like, why would they act like this is a thing? It did not check out. So now we got the sequel coming out. And I think that's what... Look, I loved that they paid homage to Harold Ramis.
You know, I thought that was pretty well done. That was tasteful.
But bringing back characters like other ghosts that would have been locked in the containment unit, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, didn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That was something they wished the villain made.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't make sense. It's not like they trapped the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Also, the terror dogs or whatever they're called, the evil dogs from the first one.
One time I turned into a dog and they helped me.
Yeah.
I love that
smells
line.
Smells like burnt dog.
Okay, who brought the dog?
Sorry. look, and I think we can both agree. The first one is, I hold the first Ghostbusters so high. It's like one of my favorite comedies
we
ever.
We all do. I mean, especially us.
A lot of people don't.
Kids that grew up in the 80s.
Yeah. I just think it's like a perfect comedy. And it's also that, it hits that sweet spot of comedy and horror that I just love.
Yeah.
The sequel, I think, is fun. But I don't think it's as good or nearly as good as the first. And that's why it gets knocked so much, because it's not even, you know, it's good. There's a lot of practical effects in there that are awesome. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things about it to love. I like the third one, fine. But definitely not as much as the first two. I thought it was okay.
I gave it a 6. I thought it was okay. I thought they did a decent job at whatever they were trying to accomplish, they did.
Yeah, I guess so.
They added fan service, which, you know, everybody loves that. And they kind of made it about a new generation. Not necessarily about the generation that we want, but
yeah.
It's a new generation. I'm not necessarily, like, happy with that Wolfhard kid. What's his name?
I have no problem with
him. I mean, he's Finn Wolfhard. Very, you know, he's very dry. But the girl, the one that's Egon's relative or whatever,
His granddaughter.
She could easily be Egon. She's so cute and nerdy.
True. Guess that's true.
But I mean, she definitely fits in with all that. But I'm a little nervous about this going in, though, because I feel like, first of all, none of it makes sense in the trailer. So hopefully the trailer's wrong, like a lot of trailers usually are. But he does say, Walter Peck, the asshole.
Yeah.
He says that, you know, nobody believed any of what the Ghostbusters was selling. But I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah,
the
that's
whole city.
A running joke in the series that people act like they didn't see everything that they did. Like, I know that they were on top of a building, mm-hmm. but they saw a giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and the Statue of Liberty.
Excuse me, the Titanic arrived.
Yeah. And there were like laser shows, but people got hurt. People were attacked. People saw, and they came and helped people. It's like, even if they were faking it, like, even Walter Peck had entire marshmallow melt on top of him. I think that's why already I'm kind of not jazzed about the sequel.
Right.
Because everything in the trailer is showing us the other stuff that they didn't put into the first one as member berries, as that nostalgia trip.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're in New York again. Oh, we're going to be in the city that you know. We're going to be in the station that you know. Oh, Jeanine is wearing the glasses from the cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, Walter Peck is the villain. He's back. He didn't get fired after he caused an explosion at the whatchamacallit house, the firehouse.
Yeah, yeah.
He blew up the containment unit and caused an entire city block to get, like...
He also released all the freaking
And he released
ghosts.
All the ghosts. And he saw that. And he has other people that were there with him that did it.
I mean, but how can you honestly say that no one believed them?
Yeah,
the
and someone gave him his job back?
The whole city was involved. I know, someone gave him his job back. I mean, they were literally in a courtroom. The Scarelli brothers
or
whatever came out in the fucking courtroom. Like, honestly, no one saw this. There's no witnesses. Are you kidding me?
It's like this. It's like the third one and this new one is acting like the second one never occurred. And I think that's what really pisses me off.
Well, if they do that, I'm going to be really mad.
They kind of did with the sequel because nothing really makes sense in the long run. Like, nothing. Like, they saw the Statue of Liberty walking with them in it. I would love to know how they got the Statue of Liberty back.
I don't know, but at the end we saw the statue on the ground, so that's a little concerning. But anyway, all I know is that I want equal parts fun, I want equal parts nostalgia, I want it to have a good plot, and I want to see my girl again. I know that it's a lot to ask, but if they bring Sigourney back, you know, I'll be cheering because, you know, she's Sigourney.
All I wanted back was Rick Moranis.
Oh, he's no...
He's
not coming back.
He's working again. He came back to New York. There was a whole incident that happened where he got punched in the face in the street, which is the worst upsetting thing.
I heard that he was not working. He was just out with his kids.
No, apparently he was working on the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show for Disney Plus. I have no idea if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard. And he also did all that stuff for Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
those commercials with Mint.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll get something like that. I mean, it would make everybody cheer.
Yeah, I, if any of the characters came back, I like the fact that Janine is going to put on a Protan pack. I think that's kind of fun.
I know. She's so cute. She looks exactly the same.
Yeah, she does.
Annie Potts. She's so cute.
I like that kind of stuff. But the nostalgia of more Marshmallow Men, Slimer, of the Terror Dogs again.
Okay, but
everything's in the trailer. I'm like,
the marshmallows are tiny.
Yeah,
They're cute.
I get it.
They're cute marshmallows.
Yeah, everything's cute.
You know how I love tiny things? I can't take it.
At least in this miniatures. One, they're saying that they freed the ghosts that they've ever caught.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm concerned over is, like, okay, there's an ice age happening. That's, like, above and beyond anything. I mean, I know that Viggo was about to take over the world and, you know, wreak havoc, but this is pretty crazy, an ice age. So... And there's people in the trailer that I'm like, okay, why are you cramming so many people in here?
I know. You got Patton Oswalt. You got Kamal.
Okay. Let me tell you something.
They're going to be in bit parts. So
I hope so, because I mentioned to you when we saw this.
Patton Oswalt.
We need one and not the other, okay?
They deserve to be. They're the kind of guys that you, like, these are the guys that really feel like us. That are famous, and I'm like, okay. I want them to be famous. I want them to be in these properties, but unfortunately, it's too much.
Nanjiani,
and you've got kids, and you've got all these characters.
He's you know, I appreciate Nanjiani. I just feel like Patton Oswalt kind of squeezes himself into every pop culture nerd thing, and not that I have a problem with him, I just don't. But he's always that person that has excess knowledge of everything that's happening, and he's like the resident nerd expert, and I don't know.
Yeah.
We need one and not the other. It's what I'm saying is, if we have Kamal, we don't need Patton Oswalt.
I guess I don't know. This is one of the, and I would say the same goes for Afterlife. I kind of forgot after I watched it. I was like, oh yeah, that happened. And Now I feel like with this one, I saw the previews and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not stoked. And I'm a Ghostbusters fan, but I'm not psyched out to see this movie. And I am extremely nervous about it.
I know.
I just know in my gut that the people who love Ghostbusters will love it regardless. Because we'll get to see everybody again and all that kind of stuff. And then the people who go see a movie and they're able to judge it openly without any of that, I have a feeling that it's not going to be popular with those people.
Yeah, I don't know. I
feel like I'm in that group.
We're two ends of the spectrum over here, because we're going with our friend who's a diehard, no matter what, up on his hill.
Yeah.
No matter what, he loves it.
We had the same problem after seeing the Halloween new sequels from Blumhouse.
Everybody hates me for that.
They're not good. I mean, there's things about 1 and 2 that I like. 3 is a shit show to me, but people loved it, and we saw it with the same friends. Who love it regardless, because Halloween and Ghostbusters are their nostalgia, and Star Wars. And I think that's the shame. Like, you got to be able to openly be able to talk about it.
I agree with that.
And I feel like that's where I am. And I feel like that's how I feel right now before going into the film. I feel like I need to drink a beer, relax, and just chill out and hopefully just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah,
maybe like a blockbuster kind of like popcorn film. But the fact that I haven't seen any trailers except the same one over and over and over makes me really doubt that this will be an enjoyable film.
That's concerning. But you know what, another reason that they're not doing that is maybe because they just don't want to give too much away. I mean, the one trailer that we see kind of is like, you know, whoa, that's a lot going on. There's a lot of characters going on in here. Who's that person in the background there? There's another girl back there. Like, who are these people?
It's all the friends from the first one that have Finn Wolfhard's like girlfriend character.
Uh-huh.
And now Paul Rudd and Carrie Coogan?
What's her name?
I blanked. She's awesome.
Yeah, we really do like her. She's in the Leftovers.
Yes.
I
blanked out.
But I'm looking forward to this, you know, but I'm going in with a little bit of hesitance, because I think they're going to cram too much in. And I think that everything in the trailer is kind of like an overstuffed illusion. I think that Bill Murray is not going to be in this whole movie. I just have a feeling he's not going to be in this whole movie. He'll be in some of it. You know, just enough to show, you know, stick his head out and be like, hey, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I don't think that he's going to have the role that, you know, the other characters are going to have. And also, Dan Aykroyd, too. I would really like it if Winston came in and had his kid there too, but that's not going to happen.
We already set up that Winston is in charge. Him and Annie Potts are kind of in charge of this business.
Mm-hmm.
That Winston's rich. So I think that he's a big part of the whole thing. So he's probably going to be in it. Him and Dan Aykroyd are probably be in it the most.
Okay.
I would
Which
think.
Is fine by yeah. me.
I'm fine with it. I didn't even need to see Vakeman.
You know what? I don't care either. I really want to see Winston. Winston always takes a back seat. So.
Yeah, and I like that they stepped him up a little bit. By the way, her name is Carrie Coon, and I was very close. Wow. I said Carrie Coogan.
Oh, well, you were very close.
Very close.
Good.
I mean, what's your thought going in? What's the score that you think you're going to come out with?
Well, I came out of Afterlife with a 6 because I thought it was pretty decent. It wasn't a shit fest. We know shit fests.
It had a level of enjoyment.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to come out of this with a 6 as well. I think I will.
I feel like I'm going to come out with a 5, and we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping for, and I'm usually the optimistic one, but I just, this movie, just something about it does not draw me in that trailer. So we'll see. Maybe, those trailers mean a better movie. Usually I have that problem where if the trailers are weak, then the movie's better.
That's how it happens.
Yeah, it does happen, but I think recently that trend has disappeared with that. Mm. I think that the weird trailers are usually the better movie now these days.
I mean, except when we saw Dune. Dune's trailer was boss. The movie was boss.
They got better every time.
Everything was like tops. But this one, though, I remember seeing the trailer and I'm like, all right, what are they going to do here? And I wasn't too thrilled because I was just like, oh no.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like, all right, maybe the trailer is just a trailer. Maybe we'll have something good here.
Yeah.
I'm going in optimistic for once. I never do. Never do.
Yeah, we switch roles.
Well, not true. Actually, in Dune, I said it, right? Right off the bat, I said, this is going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we just knew because it's
Denis Villeneuve.
I mean, the guy doesn't disappoint.
He has a sexy name. Don't you want to say it all the time? Denis Villeneuve.
Okay, let's go check this movie out.
For the first time in New York history, people froze to death in the middle of July.
What is it?
The death chill. The power to kill by fear itself. Your veins turn to rivers of ice. Your bones crack. And the last thing you see is your own tear ducts freezing up.
Like, literally scared to death?
So cool.
Hello, everybody. We're back, and we just saw Frozen Empire, Ghostbusters. What did you say? What do you want? Ghostbusters.
What do you want? Although she did not say that in the movie.
Part 4. No.
It's in the trailer, but she didn't say it in the movie.
Did she not say it?
I don't remember. No. I was waiting for it.
Well, I didn't mind this movie. I kind of liked this movie. I think it was a fun little adventure film that kind of scratches that itch of that little family, you know, like that whole family adventure films that I feel like we used to get more of. And I feel like they've kind of stopped making them as much, maybe because people don't go see them as much, which I think is going to happen to this movie. But I would say that the big problem is that there are so many characters.
Well, when you say family dynamic, I can appreciate that.
Did I say family dynamic?
Yeah, you said family dynamic. There's a whole family dynamic in this.
I don't think I said that at all, but go ahead with it.
You did say you appreciate...
It's a family adventure film.
A family adventure or whatever. Okay, whatever. Same shit.
I like family dynamic.
You know.
But, I do like the family dynamic.
Okay,
though.
You like the family dynamic. I feel like you said dynamic. Whatever. I'm going to tell you, though, I feel as though if you're gonna have that, I think it's wonderful. But when you add extra people, where when I say extra people, I'm not just talking about the OGs. I'm not talking about Venkman and Stans and all that. I mean, this other extra kid in there, and Kumail Nanjiani in there, and then this other young lady in there. It just adds too many people. And then there's this guy, I don't recall seeing him in the last movie. He has an accent, and he's one of the Ghostbusters. I don't know where he came from. I'm drawing a blank.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm guessing it's one of the new scientist
Yeah,
people
one of the new
or
scientist people. Where the
Ray's psychic.
I guess he's Ray's
None of those
person.
people were in the last one. The only people that, because we weren't in New York in the last one. We didn't have the firehouse.
Right. Well, okay.
We only had the family, the core group,
Right.
and then we had his friend in school who shows up in this, just happens to be working at with Winston. Which is funny. Like, they just, oh, we have to bring this character back. We have to bring this character back. There's a whole bunch of people introduced into this movie. And my problem is, I kind of liked the moving on aspect of it and not needing the OG characters as much. But I really like the parts with the OG characters of saying, like, it's time to stop doing all the stuff, putting yourself in jeopardy. We're in our golden years, you know? I
Yeah.
kind of like that. And I feel like them being in the movie and having so many characters kind of robbed the family dynamic plot line.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like it was oh, this guy Lars Pinfield. That's what I'm talking about.
Who do you play?
Lars Pinfield. That was his name. He was the scientist kid with the accent.
I just don't know which one it was. I would have to see. I didn't really remember all the names.
Yeah. He had the
I'm guessing, yeah,
glasses.
he was just the head scientist of Winston's new organization.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I didn't mind
Oh,
having
Pinfield.
Pinfield. Yeah,
I remember now because I thought his name was
you
Renfield.
thought his name was Renfield. Yeah, but like, I don't mind seeing all these new people. That's okay. But I do feel like this movie was missing something. It seemed like it took way too long to get to the big bad, and then when the big bad showed up, he only had like, I would say, a minute of screen time. It just didn't seem long enough. I mean, he's supposed to be the big villain that they had to take down, and it just seemed like they did it with ease. It wasn't a big challenge for them. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm different, but they threw a lot of fan service in here.
Not as much. They toned down on it heavily. There was some stuff there that we went with a friend who recognizes everything. The difference there is that they're seeing those and catching those. I couldn't catch any of that. So I think the fan service was there in the background. They toned it. That's about how I looked at it. They stepped up their game. We got new, like, new proton packs. We got new traps. We got new stuff. They're definitely trying something new.
Yeah, they're trying something new for sure, but I mean, we still have that fan service of like where,
Oh, there's a couple bits that are
yeah,
just
like
way too fun.
Venkman, like there's a couple things without spoiling anything, but
The first one was, I mean, the last one, the one before this was like times 100.
it
Like,
really
and I
was,
was talking
yeah.
about how I don't really like that nostalgia-driven narrative where it just makes people clap. I don't like that. And you should write a story. I feel like here they toned that down and they did more of a story. The characters had plots. Finn Wolfhard really did not have a story here. He was probably the one that was the most pushed to the side.
Yeah, and what's funny about that is I think going in in our before review, I said that, he doesn't, I'm not super, into his character or his, I'm not super into it. So, like, the whole getting pushed to the side thing in this movie did not bother me at all. It just didn't. So, yeah, I mean, overall, as a movie, though, I'll say it was okay. It wasn't great. I'm not going to say it was great because it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. There were some cute moments in it. But I'm going to say one thing. is that if there's some kind of love connection between Paul Rudd and, is it Carrie Coon?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling that.
Oh, okay. I like the whole thing about them being... I like the scenes where they were, like, going off to the side and say it's hard being a parent and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty good.
Yes, but I don't catch the romance with between the
well,
two
Well, they
of them.
Didn't have any time.
I don't know. It's just I'm not seeing that connection there, but it doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's more about the... I guess it's about, you know, Tiny Spangler. What was her name? Phoebe.
Yeah, she, you know, kind of takes front and center.
Yeah. I mean, I think she did a good job. I think everybody did a good job in this movie. I just think that it was, I don't know, kind of missing something. I think they pushed the plot along with Kumail Nanjiani. That was, I don't know.
I thought he was funny.
No, he's great. He is one of my favorite funny people. But I feel like his plot line was a little weak. I do. You know, they didn't really give us much there. But, and, you know, I was, in the beginning, I was like, oh, you know, we don't need Patton Oswalt if we have Kumail Nanjiani and vice versa. So we didn't really get much Patton Oswalt in this. He just kind of made a little cameo, which I was like, okay, you know, this is too much oversaturation with characters as it is. So good. Let's just, you know, try and, you know, get trim the fat, I guess. But we still had too many characters at the end.
There was way too much going on. What I did respect, though, was that the villain wasn't just some ghost or wasn't some kind of whatever. You know, they kind of stepped it up and they had like a whole like scenario. Like, I don't know. It just felt a little heavier in that mm-hmm. aspect. And I thought I actually thought the idea with the monster was really creative, although, like you said, or if I don't know if you actually said it, I think you did, but they kind of rushed the villain in the last couple minutes.
Oh yeah, they pushed everything at the last minute.
They kind of had a lot to do. There was a lot of stuff about getting the thing released, but by that time there was a lot. What I kind of respected is, like, you don't see this very much in movies, but you got a lot more time of all the characters learning things.
Mm-hmm.
That will connect into the ending, which you don't really see as much. Usually you just get into the battle or things go into that plot with that last battle.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it was like everybody had little stories that were kind of interconnecting and it would all come together in some kind of ending. And it worked out to beat the villain who, you know, it is that cheesy villain idea where the villain could kill everybody instantly, but just doesn't.
Right.
And it's got to have jokes, you know. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is there. And there are some nonsense mm-hmm. moments and some heavily needed to force the nostalgia, like the library and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Doing as much as they can. But I feel like at least here they toned it down. And at least here they really worked on putting characters front and center.
Yeah, I mean, they did tone it down a little bit, but still, at the end of the day, I feel like this movie left me wanting more because, like I said, this movie is called Frozen Empire. Now, none of the big plot really happens until the last 15 minutes of the film. I mean, you're literally an hour and 20 minutes in, and it's just like you get this sprung on you. You know, at this crazy moment in time where everything turns to ice. And I mean, you think that they're going to be living in the city with this big, you know, ice age almost. And that's kind of the impression I got by the trailer. But that's not what the movie portrays at all. Like, you don't really get any of the big bad until the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie. And I'd say like 15 is, you know. It's generous. So it kind of left me wanting more, but I thought it was okay. It wasn't bad and it wasn't great. It was entertaining and I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, I feel like it could have been so much worse. It could have been so much that it could, you know, so much that could have went in the wrong direction so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like they kept it in an area where it was just it was just like, I don't know, sometimes movies, when you watch them, you're expecting something huge, especially from blockbuster films, like something really, like, heavy. But I feel like this movie was just grounded enough in a weird way, you know, where it felt more old school than a newer movie. I unfortunately don't think it'll be a big film because I don't think people really gravitated toward Afterlife. I think people have moved on from it. And I think that'll happen here as well. I don't feel like people connect to it as much, but I do think it is, you know, it is fun enough to at least when people do see it, that I think they could have a good time with it.
Here's the thing. I feel like people in our generation are probably sick of it at this point.
I do too.
At the point where we are, there are children running Ghostbusters. Children, okay? Actual children. There are Ghostbusters. There's one teenage girl and one teenage boy on this team. What the hell, man? They're kids. They're children.
I always liked the idea, and I said this in the before, I have always liked the idea of a bunch of misfit men. You know, like, they're boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just making dumb decisions, and that's like that comedy aspect, and I feel like that could have been a better series if they had the kids of the Ghostbusters trying to step into that position, and they're idiots and they're mess ups, and this is what makes them be better people type of thing while still being, you know, themselves. I think that would have been more enjoyable. Why they decided to go kids, I can only assume it's because of Stranger Things. Because there was a hit with Stranger Things, and I feel like people were like, oh, let's get back to the kids, the Monster Squad, and stuff like that.
Yeah, they wanted to also kind of appeal to the kids, so they're trying to get kids in the seats. So they're having this, you know, the teenagers be part of the gang. And I think that's ridiculous, because there's a young girl and a young guy putting themselves in mortal danger. Now, what parents are letting them be involved in this? Come on, you know? And how do they have any capabilities to be involved in this? Now, the funny thing about it is that I was thinking about the original Ghostbusters and then, you know, just putting on the proton packs, right? It's like a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. They're giving
these weapons to children. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, that was what the last one kind of set up heavily. It's been a lot of time in talking about how Phoebe in particular is a very intelligent kid, more intelligent than the parents. In fact, there's multiple times in this movie, which I kind of respected, was that the mother, they saw like an obstacle that they couldn't do, like a locked door, and they would call her over, the 15-year-old. She could just do it. You know, she's just very smart. Okay. And they're like, if anybody's going to use the proton pack, it should be her.
Okay, and I understand, and I kind of like it. I agree with that, but I'm talking about the other two children that are involved in this movie. The nerdy, dorky kid that is, you know, hanging out with her. And then the other young girl that's in this.
She's not yet. They're also graduated. They're out of high school.
Okay, fine. But they look like they're 14. I mean,
I'm sure.
But really, though, how did they get this job? I want to know.
So in the last one, they beat the coast. They saved the day, and Winston hired them. He started that organization to keep the Ghostbusters going. Okay. So he had an organization. They talk about it in this one. It's like a whole plot line.
I get
here,
it.
He has an organization.
And Lucky and Podcast.
What?
Those are names. The girl's name is Lucky.
Yeah.
His name is Podcast. I just think it's a little bit extra. I do understand that why they were hired, but I just feel like, okay, they're still kids. I don't care.
I guess you're an adult at 19, so.
All
right. Right? I mean.
I just feel like the movie didn't need them. That's all.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I would have liked, you know, it's even odd just having Paul Rudd and his, I guess, wife.
They married?
I don't know, because that's the whole plot line with him in this movie, is being like the dad.
Okay.
Which I kind of found fun. I actually like that dynamic with them, but it is questionable of like, really? This family, this is like what they're doing? But I guess, hey, if you're going to spend time with your family, you might as well be fighting ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I don't know. I just feel like if we're going to, like I said, trim the fat, then maybe we should have just gotten rid of those two kids, too. But, I mean, you know, he was cute. He brought a little something fun to the table. The podcast kid, his name is Podcast. But the other girl, Lucky, I just feel like she was there, you know? I just feel like there's too many characters to give everyone a spotlight. And I don't like that because sometimes I want a character to have a spotlight, you know, like, hey, what's up with this person? But there's just too much going on in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot. I thought it flowed well enough, though. I have no real complaints about that. It's just, I think it's a simple, simple film at the end of the day. So, I mean, that's why I'm not, you know, like, I'm not hating on it and I'm not, like, overly loving on it. But I think it's a simple, easy, fun, digestible film at the end of the day. And I feel like I said, it's like an easy adventure film. I don't know. That's it.
It was a fun watch.
Yeah, it was fine. So I think it was just really right there in the middle. If I had to score this movie out of 10, I'm going a 6.
Okay.
I feel like it was, you know, it's okay. I don't mind this.
Yeah, well, I said I was going to come out with a 6, and that's exactly what I'm coming out with.
I thought I would hate this movie. I thought I was going to really not like it at all. But I found myself laughing a lot and just having a stupid fun time.
Yeah, it was cute. It was cute. You know, yeah. We got to see it with our buddies. And there's a lot of just cute ha-ha moments. It was just fun. I mean, there's things that I would change. But it wasn't a perfect movie. But overall, it was an enjoyable theater experience. So I'll go 6.
Yeah. I think that's the perfect way to rate it. At the it really is. I can't imagine saying it's under that. It might be silly and stupid. I can understand that, but it's the Ghostbusters. It's like already you're on that, you know. I don't think we're going to get another one. I can't imagine this ever having another one. I don't think this is going to make a lot of money. But hey, you know, I mean, maybe it will, but I just don't see it in the cards.
No, I don't think this one's gonna make money. I think the last one made money because everyone was like, oh my god,
it didn't even make that much. It wasn't like a huge blockbuster. It did not make it. I was shocked that we're getting a sequel in the first place, that we got this movie.
I mean, it has to have made some
it didn't make as much. I mean, you want to make a huge, you know, budget, you want to make a money, you want people to be really excited. I don't think it was there.
I mean, here's the thing. I think that having the star power that this one did, even more, you know, bringing most of the gang back that they could, I think that costs a lot of money.
I don't think so.
I mean, Bill Murray has been very vocal about not wanting to be a part of these movies anymore. And he just
keeps doing them anyways.
That's why I'm thinking that they had to pay him.
I this time it felt like he owed somebody something.
Oh, well, maybe he did it for Jason Reitman.
I don't really know. In this, when he's in this movie, it feels like he's just phoning it in.
Yeah. He's kind of asleep at the wheel.
It's so odd. It was weird.
It seemed like, you know, someone was holding him at knife point or something, and he's like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, just don't hurt me.
And I kept telling him, stand in the front. And I was like, why?
Why?
I think we like the old cat. Like, it's like, I already feel jaded by him and his, like real hate of wanting to do these movies. And it kind of set me off in the sense that, like, I don't need to see him now. I can move on from it.
I mean,
and he putting him right in every shot. And they put every single scene of his in the trailer. You know, there's a part where he opens up a little thing and he's got his alcohol hiding in there. And I was like, that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really is happening.
I think that's
here.
How he's really getting drinking. Through the scene.
Yeah.
But can we talk about Ernie Hudson for a moment? He is just, he looks good.
Yeah. He's great. And he has always deserved to be more famous than he is.
I agree with that. I really like Ernie Hudson. I think that he's really good.
Very surprising.
So I was happy that he was in this.
Yeah. And you were talking about Patton Oswalt in the before. I had no problem with it. He fit perfectly for the role that he was in.
It was a 2-second thing.
I mean, I guess he has the exposition dump.
Yeah, it was like he just wanted to put this, to check it off on his resume that he had done a Ghostbusters
movie.
That's
why I appreciate him.
And it's like, okay, fine, because he's done every other fandom on Earth.
Yeah.
So let's just check this box off. But, you know, it was fine. It was fine. This movie was, it was a fun movie. Go see it in a theater. Get your little, you know, popcorn trap. It actually lights up. It's really freaking cute. And it has wheels. It's cute. It's expensive as hell, but it's cute.
All right, so yeah, that's our thoughts on it, the movie. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next week, I think we'll be seeing Godzilla, Kong,
yeah,
and Godzilla, which is going to be a trash heap fire, and we'll see.
How dare you?
Can't wait. Can't wait. Let's go check
that out.
You're
just talking about your love like that?
Yeah, I know. I'm just throwing him under the bus. Damn. He's purple this time, too. They're trying to get all my feels. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.